Welcome to the J Train Podcast. Today, we take emails, we do a little luxury lounge, and we get political.
Welcome to the new J Train Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train Jared Fried. We're here every Monday. Very excited about today's guest, Fahim Anwar. Thank you for coming on. He's got a new special, Show Me the Money.
House Money.
The link to the special is in the bio of this episode. You're going to love the special. Fahim is hilarious. I got Nimesh Patel here. Nimesh, thank you for coming on. On the road. Go to findingnimesh.com for all the tour dates. Go watch Nimesh live. You will love him if you don't already. How long do you think we can keep this going?
This whole charade.
The facade of this idea that you're saying right now. Well, I guess the algorithm got to them late. When do we go crazy? Like, you are talking about the algorithm as if it's God.
Too late.
It is.
I've already gone nuts.
You've gone nuts.
I've gone crazy.
What's after the algo?
Death. I think we die. I think we disintegrate into the ground.
I don't know. Writing job.
Well, this is the thing. This is an exhausting pursuit. When you go for months, you go, I'm going to be in Boston. And then you're on the flight out and they go, when are you in Boston? And you go, just want to jump out the window. And it's like, are we just going to see comedians jumping out the window every day?
When are you coming back to Atlanta? I literally just left Tabernacle. Why? And I'm not even mad at them. I'm more mad at whatever I thought I was doing.
You're mad at God.
You're mad at God.
Like, the algorithm. Father algorithm.
Why the fuck?
I'm on stage right now.
Yes.
I'm playing right now.
It'll end soon, I think. I feel like.
Does it change? Do we start talking about this like people used to talk about MySpace? Do we go, remember when we had to get all these followers and people? Because when we started, all of us started around the same time. People go, I put all this. There was a brand of comedian that had exhausted themselves by pouring time and effort into MySpace because Dane Cook did it.
Right.
We all met those people. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Didn't they do a thing too? There was a comedy MySpace as well. Like, they would do like an artist pick every week or something.
That sounds vague. I was never on MySpace, but
that was like, I just remember meeting comics. And you'd be like, I'm doing Instagram. They'd be like, well, I did it. I'm done. And then you do Instagram or TikTok and you take off. And then they're like, I should have been doing this years ago. And you're like, yeah, you were tired from MySpace.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe we become tired from all this and now we're missing out on, you know, the Google Glass or whatever.
It's all about Apple Vision Pro.
Right.
Doing shows in the metaverse.
Someone's looking at you like, no, you got to go on Apple Vision Pro, give out hand jobs. Fake. They're fake. You're not going to touch a penis. But like, and then we're going to go, I did it already. I'm not doing hand jobs.
I hope the burnout doesn't last. Like, because it feels like I'm burning out. I don't know if you feel the same way about putting stuff out, constantly trying to sell stuff. And it's like,
someone just told me, the guy that Jeremy Jacobowitz was on last episode, he's like, I make $1,000 a month from Snapchat. I was like, I haven't opened up Snapchat in years.
Right. Yeah.
Are you making money on it?
No.
Oh,
I've
good.
Heard that too.
Thank God.
What's he doing? Oh, but he's got like a.
He's an influencer. I mean, like,
but direct marketing thing he's got going on with his food stuff, right?
Well, but I'm saying it's not that far away from what we're doing,
right?
Is my point. Like, we're putting out stuff on the same platforms as him. And then you hear another one, you're like, I can't do 6 hours a day of like hashtag, you know, whatever the hell.
Are you ever envious though? Because we are stand-up comedians, we have to toe this line of like kind of credibility a little bit with jokes. Like, we can't just be pure influencers. We're like, hey, I love this vitamin water. It's like, they're able to make so much more money because no one gives a shit if like a big butt bikini model is hawking products 30 days a month. Whereas if Bill Burr was talking about vitamins and shit too much, it would affect his bottom line.
Well,
stand up.
Yeah. That's why I think that that's the saving grace, is that you can always go on the road and do a show. Yeah. And if you're the person doing vitamin water every day, there's no other road. There's no show. There's no.
Talk about vitamin water on the road.
I can show your butt. I'm doing a halo.
Put a little vitamin water on the stool.
Right. I got to
do it. In this twerk for an hour.
I would extra $500 for vitamin water and just go, hey, this has got all the nutrients I need. I don't know. Yeah,
we can't completely whore out and make
it would be tough for us.
Yeah,
it would be tough to. I mean, it would be tough for you. Like if you wore a shirt that had something on it, like, you know, remember when all those boxers would have something.com on their back?
It was like celebrity boxing and shit. Like Screech had like a website on his back.
Can you imagine going on stage?
Did he?
Yo,
yeah.
I always thought about that, like, because now it's such a cash cow. You see these like streamers and shit boxing, and it's real money.
Yeah.
Whereas like Screech was too early to the party. Like all these celebrities who would do boxing,
yeah. Right?
Remember? Well, like, now they're really they were like, oh, this is dumb. This is sad. And now they're like, yeah, now we love it.
Right. But those the celebs that are boxing are like, then they can box. Celebrity boxing was like just two sad people that it was Screech years after Screech. Like right. Celebrities now, it's like Logan Paul can box.
Well, the not as sad part is you're taping yourself instead of someone else taping you. I think it was more sad. Uh-huh. Like, remember the Surreal House on VH1?
No.
And they're like, here's a bunch of fucked up celebrities and we're gonna put them in a house and you're gonna watch everything they do. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you go, oh, I hope I never end up there. Now we just create our own surreal houses. Now I'm walking around my house going, look how stupid I am,
right,
doing this thing. I don't know. Please share the podcast. if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe. Please,
I think,
follow Nimesh and Fahim.
I think it all ends pretty soon, or it changes pretty soon. You know, pendulums
always swing,
and it's like maybe we're at the tail end of it now, where we were able to capitalize on this whole like spreading your shit out by yourself kind of thing.
You think you're gonna like, constrict the pipe a little bit, or what?
Am I constricting the pipe?
No, do you think they're going to constrict it?
I think it's the pipe's been burst open, and now like everyone's doing it, so this whole thing has been kind of diluted.
Yeah, I mean, it's the problem when you see, like, you know, I see models I follow doing bits, mm-hmm. like doing like voiceover. They're like doing, you know, the thing where it's like POV, your friend who shows up late to the meeting, and it's like them doing it. I'm like, I didn't come here for POV, friend to show up to, turn around, let me see your ass. You know, like, like I'm here for a very different reason, but I'll watch their, and it's like, that's a comedy bit. Like, yeah. That's a bit you can't do anymore. You know, someone sent me something like they stole your bit. And I was like, no, this is a woman who dresses up as a mom and does every day, does like 10 I'm your mom videos.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I was like, that's not my bit. Like, that's just a woman going, eat your vegetables. And it's like, I have a bit about my mom yelling at me. Like,
it's just the fact that comedy is more spread out and like everyone thinks they're funny, I think is a net positive. Hopefully like there's just more happy funny people on the planet, right. But I do think it definitely eats into the market of you have to be super funny and your jokes got to be really strong to then rise above everything.
Oh, and you know, in 30 seconds,
right,
like, right.
So that's the other thing too, it's like some people can have a hot 20 seconds. Somebody can have a hot 30 seconds for real.
Yeah.
It really levels the playing field in terms of like contenders into the digital ecosystem. Like yeah. So many people can have a hot 20 seconds.
Yeah.
But then, you know, to do what you do or do what I do or do what you do when you come to a city and do an hour, that's a completely different.
Well, you do impress people. And it's just the hardest part is the 30 seconds of the commercials to get them there.
Yeah.
That's the problem. We're not going to be as good on the 30 seconds of what we do is never going to do justice. Right. You know, Nimesh, you were at my show in New York. I have made a decision.
What
to
a set.
Well, thank you. But I'm telling all personal stories. I'm like, it's the only way. To me, I'm like, I can't do so the dating apps are hard anymore. I maybe at another time it was I was early enough. But like, I'm going to just talk about personal stories and try and flesh them out. It's made me have to work harder. But like, I did have the feeling after that show where people walk away and like, there was no like, oh, I saw that on TikTok.
Right.
Like, even though I'm talking about my mom and dad, you know, I think that's where we have to like zone in on. Like, mm-hmm. Everything's personal, you know, like it's.
In a world where everyone is obsessed with themselves, it's like the right direction, I think.
Yeah. I mean, where did you take the special?
Zanies in Nashville.
It's a great spot to take a special.
I had never done Zanies before, so
really
it was interesting. Yeah. Oh,
this is a fucking fantastic comedy room.
Yeah,
I really lucked out because like I was on tour for the past year and I was, you know, honing the hour, and then I kind of I didn't save any cities, you know? So I'm like, oh, where do I shoot this thing?
Right.
Yeah.
And then my people, they suggested Zanies. And I'm like, okay, cool. And so I did it there. But it was a little scary because I had never done the space before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's weird.
I mean, you lucked into a good space.
Yeah, I lucked out. But you kind of want to go into something as a known quantity, right?
Right. Like
if you're going to tape a thing.
Yeah, for sure. But Zanies,
you're a performer too. Yeah. You're moving.
I'm moving. I'm grooving.
Yeah. You know?
They got a big stage.
Big stage. But yeah. Like, you got to know where you are on the stage. Like,
so I went in early, actually.
And you went on stage it. And like and acted them out?
Like it's Field of Dreams. Right. I was just out there. And I'm like, okay, yeah, the people will be up there. No, I was there a few days early. And I did the open mic just to like do like a test run. Because I didn't want to go in blind. And
of
like,
course.
Right. Yeah. And I'm glad I did do that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So everyone go watch the special. So we were talking.
House Money.
House Money.
Bro, thanks, man.
It's on YouTube. House the link money. Is there.
It's there, guys.
Let's do a Luxury Lounge. You guys ready?
It's Luxury Lounge.
We love a Luxury Lounge. Send them in. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Title of Luxury Lounge. Let us know what you're complaining about. We love a Luxury Lounge. You can complain about anything here. Nothing is judged. Any complaint matters. We're here to agree with your complaint. I'm writing because my mother-in-law, who is lovely, and we get along very well, always brings a fridge full of fresh vegetables when she visits every week or two. I'm not a picky eater, but neither will you ever find me eating one of these veggie platters with the dip in the middle. She brings things like a whole gigantic head of cabbage, multiple bags of broccoli, a grocery bag full of jalapenos, etc. I love to cook, and I think her intentions are good because she knows I've missed cooking creatively since I had kids. But you really need a plan for a whole head of cabbage. You can't just open your fridge and go, what can I whip up in here? Oh, a whole head of cabbage. I feel awful that she spends her money on food for us, and usually most of it ends up in the trash. We've tried to gently guide her by telling her to get specific things we need, and she has gotten better, except for the veggies. What do we think?
Eat your fucking veggies. What's wrong with this?
You're going to eat a head of cabbage?
No, I mean, not a head of cabbage.
Well, what are you going to do? What would you do with this vegetables?
Eat
do
that?
Your parents buy you anything that you're like, what the hell are they buying me?
No, I think I shut that down a while ago. But my
what
mom,
they, buying you?
They would bring me like just a mountain of chicken.
Chicken?
Just like not frozen chicken.
Right.
But like my mom will whip up chicken and like for like 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, you could eat this during the week. I'm like, bro, it's me and Amy.
Right.
And I can eat this unhealthy chicken maybe
that,
once.
Also, it affects your mental health because you're like, man, my mom was so lonely and had nothing to do but to just sit and cook chicken.
Whipped I should eat this.
I should
imagining.
Like grateful. And
right. You're just sitting, she's just at home imagining you going, well, I'll make more because Nimesh and Amy might need it.
Yeah. I can't. But so I was like, mom, stop making this kind of food. And she will reduce the portions now.
Mm.
But now if I go home, it's never like I'm bringing it. She don't even ask if I want to bring anything back. Like if I go home and she overcooks, I'm like, no, you throw it out. I'm not wasting this shit.
And then you're like, what do you do all day? She's like, I just stare out the window. I don't have anything. I used to make chicken and now I have nothing. That's
chicken.
The thing. Like that's she was filling time.
She was.
This wasn't for you to eat.
I mean, becomes a chore too. Then, like when you have that much chicken,
yeah,
and that happens when you become an adult. Like your boys will be like, "Yo, you want to go eat?" You're like, "I can't have chicken at home.
I have chicken at home, dude.
I have to, like you want the night to keep on going, but you're like, I have chicken, it's gonna go bad.
Right?
I have to go home.
I have to go home and eat chicken in the dark. It's just so I don't
think about my.
You
mom.
Can turn the lights on. Like, no, it's sadder this way.
What can you make with a whole head of cap? Coleslaw.
Coleslaw. Yeah, what's in- but then you got coleslaw, and then you've wasted other ingredients.
Look, I'm saying to this lady. Buy a veggie cookbook and start using these vegetables.
Why can't you just say, yo, like, I love all the other stuff, but we don't need the veggies. It's all good.
Here's what she needs to do. Your mom doesn't learn. People don't learn until they feel it. So when your mom comes over, mother-in-law comes over with the vegetables, she goes, I got your vegetables. You go, okay, no problem. And then you go get the garbage can.
Holy
you
shit.
Make her throw it in the garbage can. It's the equivalent
you are a mean
of,
person.
Well, this is the only way you learn. This is the mom version of, why don't you smoke the whole pack? So you get her.
Or she could eat the whole vegetable.
No, you.
Just make her eat the vegetables.
It's also the face in the poop when a dog poops on the dog.
Yes.
Look what you did.
Look, this is putting her face in the shit. You're going to take out the garbage can. We're going to throw it in here. You need to put it in. She needs to touch the cabbage. Nothing a mom hates more than knowing something got wasted. So now when she does it, she'll never do it again. This is a learning moment. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks.
I hope you get the vegetables in the divorce, lady, because that's what's going to happen if you do this to your mother-in-law.
I just think that what does your mom do that annoys you?
I mean, I love my mom. Let me.
We have to start with that.
Come on.
You just told us off camera. You hate her.
No, that was a private. I was venting. No. I love my mom. Come on.
Will they watch the YouTube special?
Maybe. My mom will watch everything I do. She'll watch this. My dad is like on Planet Zargonon. He doesn't.
Nothing.
Yeah. He just wants to know that I'm making money and stuff.
Okay.
He's not tuning in on late night appearances. And like
nothing.
Yeah. But
what's the only thing he's ever commented on?
When I bought a house, you know, like then I didn't ruin my life.
Right. You've made a career. You are doing okay. You're grounded.
Then he had to kind of like acknowledge like, okay, I'm not a complete failure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Things are good. I'm like doing hyperbole here. But my mom, she's like, a pet peeve is like whenever I get sick, she thinks it's like my fault. Like humans don't ever get sick. Like if I get a cold, she's like, she should have worn more layers.
Right. I get that.
Mom, like I'm a human. I'm not going to never get sick if I just wear more layers.
I went to a spin class with my parents in their community, which is already like the start of a sitcom.
Right.
Okay. I get in the spin class and my dad and mom sat on that side of the room and I sat on this side of the room. And we were like 10 minutes in and I went. They did not stop talking about whether I needed water. Was I sick? The whole spin class. My dad going, water. Do you need a water? Do you need a water? And then my mom does the same thing. I told you, you're going to get sick. I told you. It's never what she told me. It's just that she told me.
Yeah, yeah.
I told you. And then another woman in the class goes, are you her son? Like now we've been outed. Right. I'm the son of these two. Who do they think I was?
Right.
And then she goes, you're the comedian? And I go, yeah. She goes, and then this woman in the spin class, she just starts clapping for me.
That's amazing.
That was the result of one.
The ripple effect, the ramifications of that one cough.
It is like you can't avoid the attention that they give. Like.
Oh, my mom will also do this thing where if I'm visiting home, you know, I'm just watching TV. She'll tell me where everything in the fridge is and I don't care what the thing is. You know what I mean? She'll be like,
fine. It's not the city of Boston.
Yeah, like, fine. It's like a food I'm not going to eat, you know? Yeah. Like the pound cake, it's going to the third shelf. Okay? I'm like, okay. Like, no, look, fine. I'm going to work. So it's going to be behind in this. And I'm like, okay, mom. Just having to show me directly where the thing in the fridge is, and I don't care.
Oh, you both have such loving, caring moms.
Yeah, what is yours? Mom is just making them chicken.
It's a big bucket of chicken.
Right.
I think I've, for better or for worse, come to an understanding with my mom and my dad where it's like, I'll speak if I want to be spoken to. And
Nimesh, I was so surprised. You were like, they didn't come to a show.
Uh-huh.
Until you did MSG.
No. They didn't. They had.
When was the show that they came to that you were like, because I remember you saying that. I was like, we've been doing this like 20 years at this point. Like,
I want to hear your dynamic because we're similar but different. But like, I don't know the history of you doing comedy and your parents and how they took it and what it is now.
When I started comedy, they were like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Well, my mom was more like that. My dad was just like, kind of like that. Not didn't care, but was just like, almost aloof. It's like he's just doing whatever he wants.
Well, that's a very dad thing. My dad did the same thing where he's like, oh, he was like, oh, you're an entrepreneur. Like it was never like a thought of like, he's like, you're doing something.
Oh, so no, my dad did not. I didn't make the entrepreneur comedy connection for a very long time because I was still looking for a day job so that I didn't have to live at home. And so I could live in New York and like pay rent and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we met like, almost right before I got that job, because you were working at AXA or something.
I was selling life insurance, then I met you outside of Penny's Open Mic. And Penny's Open Mic, I legit, Like they were like, yeah, we pick from a bucket. It's communism. And then everyone's like, oh.
It did have very communal vibe.
It was a very communal, like, rug on the floor. And then like a year later, I found out the whole bucket was rigged. It's a bunch of.
You got to get in good.
Right. That's it. It's like the bread line. That's why I wasn't eating the whole time. So.
But when I started, you know, I had left NYU, not left NYU, I graduated from NYU a year before. And like I was unemployed, underemployed. Like my parents, like, what the fuck? We pay for you to go to school. You're not even going to med school. Like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be smart. You're supposed to have a job. All your friends are making lots of money. You're at home. And so when I started, my mom was like, "So what is this going to be? What are you doing?" And then it wasn't until until I got a writing job with Chris that they were like, "Oh, this could actually be something." Because up until then, I had a day job.
Yeah.
But my mom was always like, when does this turn into something else? Like, I think she was always kind of comparing me, and as I was myself, comparing me to my finance peers, all my NYU friends that like went like the regular way.
And I have a theory with moms that I think, and my theory, you can tell me if I'm wrong, is that moms just want to know how to tell their friends that they were good moms.
Yeah.
So like they go, when you say like, Nimesh is a doctor, no more questions asked. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's an elbow dunk.
Yeah. Right.
That's Coca-Cola branding. Right. I know what that is.
Right.
The fucking gut punch of the other mom.
Right. Yeah. There's no second question.
Right.
Right. Nimesh is writing. How am I going to, like, and I, like, how am I going to explain
what the show
writing
Saturday
what?
Saturday comes on Saturdays.
Right.
No, but well, that's great branding, though, too.
Yeah. SNL, you know, is like, is a version of Doctor.
Yeah.
But not within my community. No, like, at least not within maybe this next generation and maybe, like, a lot of, like, more, what's it called? Assimilated Indian people.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, amongst my family and stuff, they're not like all SNL heads, and no one's like, what the fuck?
But you don't think it had like brand awareness? Like,
I'm sure it was definitely a leg up in terms of brand awareness, but it wasn't the, oh, he's doing Madison Square Garden.
Right. Well, that's a.
And when I told them I was writing for Chris Rock, they were like, my parents were both like, which one is that again? You know, it was so like that's where they were at, like, in 2016. And then I think the first time they ever saw me was like a weekend at the Cellar. That's when I was like first okay with them coming out to a show. I felt like, okay, come watch.
And that was like, but that, to that me, was, I was like, that was
7 years in.
That to me was crazy. Cause I remember you did like the first show I ever put on.
Yeah.
At
Stumble In
on the Upper East Side. And like my parents were in the back, like, you know, like, okay, I guess this is it. Like, and I'm like, and now I look back, I'm like, I can't believe they were just like not saying anything.
They
like,
can't believe. I mean, I cannot believe they were at Stumble In.
Stumble In, that's sitting in the back,
fucking
like a bar room. Like,
that's beautiful, though.
Yeah. That's very nice. I don't know if I could do the same. I don't think I would have the same like ability to like
table these feelings and thoughts for your offspring.
Right.
just to bury all the uncertainty.
Right. And to just watch me, like, watch someone who looks just like you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, with all your mannerisms, just go up and fuck around, you know?
I cannot believe that they were at the first Stumble In. That's crazy.
They were the first one. That's this was wild. 2010.
Yep. To J-Train Express.
J-Train Comedy Express.
Every Penn Stater, everyone that looked like they worked in finance. I
invited all, and everyone I knew, and I go to my good friends. I go, bring 10 of your friends.
Yeah.
I go, because the city, like, people moved here. So I was like, and it was packed out. Yeah. And
you did that, like, three or four of them?
I did it. I would do it quarterly.
Yeah.
Because they were all finance people. So I was like, I'll speak the language. And then
every earnings.
Earnings. Right. Come spend your bonus.
Yeah.
So then, but now, and now look at this is the empire that was created from the J Train Comedy Express.
Right.
Let's do a mailbag. You
a
ready?
Lot of people came from that show.
No, but like, listen, now what happened was like, it was all people that we were around in New York. Do you know how many people come up to me and they're like, I saw Nimesh and Che and Michelle Wolf and Dan Soder and Mark Norman. You know, they rattle off these names that they all feel cool for having known.
Yeah.
You know, they feel like they're a part of it.
Yeah, early on.
Right.
First adopters.
Does the craziness of everyday life leave you stressed and shedding? Don't panic.
Nutrafol can help. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Just take their 3-minute online quiz to determine which underlying root causes are keeping you from reaching your hair potential. My mom loves Nutrafol. I always talk about it. She keeps asking me for more. She sees a difference. She's enjoying what Nutrafol brings to the table. And I think if you're dealing with hair shedding, let's go through the quiz. Let's see what they recommend. By analyzing your lifestyle, biology, hair history, and environmental triggers, Nutrafol creates a hair health plan that's tailored to your hair's needs. I love that. Start your hair growth journey today by taking Nutrafol's hair wellness quiz. What an opportunity. Just take the quiz and get your personalized hair health plan today. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping. Nutrafol.com/quiz when you enter promo code FEATHER. Take the quiz and get started on reaching your hair wellness goals with Nutrafol today. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com/quiz, promo code FEATHER. That's Nutrafol.com/quiz, promo code FEATHER. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. If you don't set aside time to achieve your goals, it's gonna be hard to accomplish them. BetterHelp's online therapy helps you learn to set boundaries, work towards the best version of yourself, and ensure that you're spending time on the things that mean the most to you. Here's what I love about BetterHelp. They've taken something that's very difficult to do, and that's going to therapy, and made it easier. They've taken away waiting in the waiting room. They've taken away, who do I even go to? They have a marketplace. You take a quiz. They're gonna match you up with someone. If you don't like that person, you can move on to someone else. Also, you can get in your car, drive around while you're on your headphones or talking on the phone with your therapist. What a beautiful thing. I like when I do things, I like and I listen to things. I like to be doing stuff at the same time. This is a great way to do it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's totally online, so you can talk to your therapist from the comfort of your own home or car. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Just take a quick quiz to get started. Love that. Tell them about what brought you to BetterHelp and what you're looking for in a therapist, and they'll match you up with someone. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/JTrain today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/JTrain. Let's give some advice.
Adapters.
Hey, Jared.
Uh-oh.
I'm a 29-year-old female living in Houston for the last 5 years. I just got back in the dating game after 6 months of taking time for myself, just got out of a 2-year relationship. So I was at a friend's housewarming, a friend who I have a unique relationship with. Let's call them G. G and I used to hook up when I first moved to Houston. G and I partied, hung out, even with his friends. It was chill, and we decided there came a point where we shouldn't hook up anymore because, honestly, we weren't compatible for a serious partnership. Time passed, and G and I remained good friends for the past 4 years, where we laugh about the fact that we used to hook up. Back to the party. I went to G's housewarming and saw a familiar face. Let's call him T. T is someone I thought I was always... T is someone I thought was always cute during the first year I moved to Houston, and our conversation was fun, and we were vibing, which led to him asking me on a date. I said yes, but started to overthink. This is a tight group of friends, and I feel awkward going out with T. T and G are best friends, and as much as I want to go on a date with him, isn't that weird? I know I have a platonic relationship with G, and we have even talked about our dating lives the last 3 years. And also, G has encouraged me to hang with T before. I feel I'll be judged for dating another friend in the group and be thought of as getting around in the group. And I believe that me and T can date seriously. What do you think, Jared and guest? Am I too in my head? Fahim, Nimesh, what do we think of this?
I smell a threesome. Long threesome game is coming.
I think that's, but you just cut to it. Like, yeah. It was going to take them 6 months to kind of like nebulously to that. Mm-hmm. You're like, just have the threesome.
Right.
Save yourself the trouble and heartache.
I see G from a mile away.
Right.
Man, T's great.
This is the caring, thoughtful advice that this woman came here for. She was like, I
yeah, that's so true. Anytime a guy is like, yo, he's great. He's just trying to set up the threesome with his boy.
The long game is being played.
You guys are crazy.
Sorry,
this is you're disappointing Vahim's mom who's watching right now. That is the worst advice.
No, my mom's at home. Like, yeah, she's setting up right?
the threesome. She's like, double team. Yeah, she's all pumped.
Sorry,
Vahim, do you have a rational thought?
Well, this whole type of world is kind of foreign to me. This is like, I can never do this type of stuff, like that type of proximity.
Are you in a relationship?
No, I'm single right now.
You're
yeah,
single?
I got out of it, yeah.
What?
I wanted it to work, man. I'm on the ropes, dude. Okay.
How long ago?
I'm in a valley. Maybe like a year and a half ago, yeah.
Did you live together?
No.
What was the...
What?
How long were you guys together?
Like three?
Three years.
Yeah.
So that was a serious relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, she was telling
I start crying.
Shit, get off the pot.
No, it was one of those things of like, whenever I'm in a relationship, I'm in it, and then something will happen, and then it kind of resets the clock for me a little bit. Like, there'll be like a red flag. The broad strokes of it is just like value incompatibility. It's like, I think we have different values. Yeah.
Well, different values. When you say that, that's like a very...
It's huge.
That's a huge.
Jared
but also
got that tattooed on his chest.
Right.
Who
values?
Value list. Yeah. No, but like you know, you imagine the other person hearing. Why did it end? And if someone was like values, and I heard them, I'd be like,
well, it's what's important. You know, something might be important to someone, and it's not as important to somebody else. You know what I mean? Also, someone might be a little more conservative in some areas, and then not in others.
Gotcha.
And when there's you're in it long enough, and then you get enough signs where I'm like, okay, like, because you may love the person. That's like, that was like big growth for me on this one, is like understanding you can still love someone but not be compatible or right for each other.
Right. And that's
both can be true.
That's also the beauty of getting older and not getting married, because you go, I don't have to work on this. I'm gonna get the fuck out. There's a back door. How old are you, Fahim?
39.
Yeah. You're going, I'm older. I'm fine.
Right.
I can move on from this. I can start new with someone else. Look, maybe I'll find the right values in the next
one. I'm not trying to ripcord out of every fucking thing, you know? Like,
no, but I've been 3 years. You go, I have assessed.
Right.
If you were 3 years in.
Right.
And this was your wife.
I kept on wanting it to work, you know? Right. So I probably gave it more than I should have, but I just kept on, was waiting for signs that it would, and it just... But enough. It kept going more backwards.
Yeah. I mean, listen, how's it been dating again?
Okay. You know, it's tough when you're on the road because it's all about momentum and stuff. So like, when you leave, it's hard. But
speaking
I'm in a good place.
Soul.
I feel like after relationships, like ones that don't work out, you're more fine-tuned in like what you want.
You're zoning it.
Zoning it.
See, this is the point with this person, because other than the threesome that Nimesh assumes you guys are going to have,
I put money on it.
This person.
February 20th. 6 months. August 20th.
Vegas odds have it favored.
This person's, I think it's interesting that they're like, what will I be thought of in the group? And I think that's the most, sometimes the answer's in the emails. That is something you don't have to worry about. But what you just said is exactly what this person needed to hear. They are zoned in. It's not 5 years ago when you and the first guy were hooking up and it was you new in town. This is 5 years later. You're not going to just hook up with T. You're not going to just hook up with this new guy. You're going to like want a real date. You're going to want a real connection. You think you could date seriously. This will not be dove into during a makeout at a drunk party. Right. This is going to be like a real thing or it's not. So I do think the discomfort with G, who has already, they said they've already encouraged you to hang with T before. This guy is telling you. He's giving you permission. I would text that guy to get, because it's for her own good. Because I wouldn't want it on my mind. I don't want to make the world awkward. I would say, hey, G, I think I'm going to go out with T. You've encouraged me in the past. Like, speak his words.
You think they're going to, you think she's concerned they're going to exchange notes?
I would hope that they, I don't think it should be her concern. I would hope that there's enough respect in this relationship that they're like, yeah, I'm gonna, this is an adult, 29 years old.
Right.
You know, 5 years ago when they're 24, I can understand they hook up. It was fun, not long term. We come back together because it's like, especially at 24, it's not as personal. It's not like she said we have different values. That'd be the meanest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Right. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're not the person that needs you.
Do I need a different story? Am I being like unnecessarily cruel? Like,
no, I think it's the most adult answer you could ever give. But adult answers usually hit home. Like,
yeah, man.
Like, you know, different we're just two values. Different people. You know, like, that's okay. But this is, you know, for her at 25, 24, you go, I have friendships from 24 that I go, yeah, I'm happy we're friends now. Like, it's cool that happened, and now we're in a different place, and that would never happen again.
That would be hard for me, though. Like, I know there's two types of people. There's different camps. But, like, if there was a friend group or just, like, she had a friend that, like, used to hook up with some guy, like, for 4 years or 2 years, whatever, and then, like, I'm dating this girl and, like, they're in the same orbit, that's, like, weird for me.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I can't do that. Some guys can.
Right.
But it's, like, too bizarre.
But that's what I think that, one, the text helps. I'm going to get in front of it. I'm letting you know what I'm going to be doing. Not ask, but just I'm going to take you up on your word that I think I'm going to go out with this other guy. And then I do think that's the reason for this has to be a real first date. This has to be that guy taking it as seriously as you're taking it. She wrote, I think T and I can date seriously. So I think if they're going in like, hey, we're going on a proper date. Now it's like, okay, we're taking this seriously. This isn't just fun and games. This is two people that might have a future together. So I think that would help it. So I don't think she should have to do this. I think she needs to fully do it or not at all. That would
be
my...
She has to listen to herself. Like, how bad do you want it?
Right. Well, and that's the part where it's like, no one's going to judge you for hooking up in the friend group. Now, you don't get around the friend group when you're like, hey, I'd like to go on a date. That's not like, you know, you spin the bottle and you made out with seven dudes.
If Q asks her out afterwards, right.
then we got a problem.
How many letters we got?
Right, this is years removed. If we get into the alphabet,
that's a gangbang too.
if the Scrabble points
Yo,
are
X,
a lot,
get in here.
If we're in the J's, you're fucked. But
C, check this out.
Looking like $1 million doesn't have to cost a fortune. Indochino lets you upgrade your style at a price that won't break the bank. Their custom suits start at just $399, and they're made to fit your exact measurements. You can customize these suits in tons of different ways. Choose your lapels, vents, pockets, and even buttons with tons of different colors and patterns to choose from. Your suit will be perfect for you. This is a no-brainer. There is nothing like custom made. There's nothing. You feel good. It's your suit. It is your clothing. It is not just anyone's. And I have to say, when something fits, that's like half the stress of going to the party or wherever you're going taken away. I got my brother's wedding coming up. Knowing my suit fits is like just a peace of mind that I you can't really, you know, there's no amount of money that's too much for that type of, you know, feeling of knowing that you're going to put on a suit that is perfect for your body. You can either submit your measurements online or work with one of the Indochino style guides to create an outfit made just for you. They're always adding new pieces and options so you can stay on trend and in style. Dress better than the other guys with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com, use code JTRAIN to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's 10% off at Indochino.com with code JTRAIN. If you have any spring breaks around the corner, you need to check out Bass. Bass is my favorite luggage brand that makes travel so easy. They've thought of everything. It has 360-degree gliding wheels, a cushion handle, washable bags for your dirty clothes, and tons of pockets to keep you organized. Bass luggage even has a built-in weight indicator so you never have to step on your bathroom scale holding your suitcase again. I have had my Bass. I'm looking at it right now across the room. I'm packing for Chicago right now, and I'm looking at my Bass bag, and I'm trying to think of like how long I've had it. I've had it for more than a year. It came with me to Europe. It comes with me on the road. I can't tell you enough good things about this bag. Also, cushion handle. You never really thought that that would be something you want. It's great. I fit it in the overhead. It's never gotten taken off the plane. These are all things that when you travel, you don't think of until the moment your bag lets you down. And I will say, this Bass luggage has never let me down, and I travel every week, as you know. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes, perfect for any getaway. So whether you're packing for a quick trip or a luxurious vacation, Bass has you covered. I took it to Europe for 3 weeks. One Bass bag and the weekend are done. Backpack, that's all I had. And it worked. It was great. Right now, Base is offering JTrain listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/JTrain. Go to basetravel.com/JTrain for 15% off your first purchase. That's BEIS travel.com/JTrain. Saying that you're trying to eat healthy is one thing. Actually doing it consistently is another. I love that word consistently. Factor makes it easy to stick to your goals with their chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in only 2 minutes. Just heat them up in the microwave or skillet, and you're good to go. Here's when I go off my health journey. It's when indecision looms. What am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? Then the hunger starts to build up. Now you're looking for a perfect situation. It's got to be healthy. It's got to be delicious. It's got to be new. That's where Factor comes in. You are not creative enough to create healthy meals 5 nights a week and then go out on the weekends and do whatever you do on the weekends and then come back to 5 more creative healthy meals. Factor is going to do that for you. I love what they're doing. I love it. I love the fact that like it doesn't let your mind get away from you. 2 minutes ready to go, you're having dinner. Factor is less expensive than takeout and every meal is actually good for you. They even have breakfast, midday snacks, juices, and desserts. So no matter what you're in the mood for, Factor has you covered. Head to factormeals.com/JTrain50 and use code JTrain50 to get 50% off. That's code JTrain50 at factormeals.com/JTrain50 to get 50% off. That's code JTrain50 at factormeals.com/JTrain50 to get 50% off. Go!
Okay, listen, we're joined by Tara Palmieri, who is Puck's senior political correspondent and host of Somebody's Gotta Win, which is a new podcast on the Ringer network. Very excited. A new guest, new to the J Train cinematic universe. They are the Puck's senior political correspondent and host of the podcast Somebody's Gotta Win that's on the Ringer network. Tara Palmieri, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Now I am not a politically inclined person, admittedly. But I heard you on Bill Simmons' podcast. I loved your demeanor. I loved your perspective. And because every time I hear about the upcoming election, I get a little anxious because I'm like, I don't want to have to go through it again. I don't want to talk to people about it. I don't even know what I think about it. I'm depressed by it. And I'm kind of
like,
you
see me as a sort of like therapist or
a little bit
motivational speaker.
You made me feel a little bit more calm about it. I avoid hearing things about it. And I wanted to just have you on as someone that we could reach out to like answer stupid questions, if that's okay.
Go for it. Shoot. Nothing can be stupid. I mean, I was in a nightclub the other day and somebody came up to me. They were a kid and not a kid, but like a younger couple. And they were like, we hate Biden. Who should we vote for? Can we vote for Cornel West? And I was like, if you vote for Cornel West, you are voting for Donald Trump.
So who is like, Cornel West? Like, even that name, I don't know who that is. Like, this is the thing. Like, I don't think I'm alone in this idea of like, I'm avoiding the conversations. I'm avoiding my parents on it. I don't want to deal with like the questions. I also don't think anyone, including myself, knows anything. We're all going on feelings. And even that with when you say
it's not surprising that you wouldn't know about like a third party candidate like Cornel West. Okay. But he was running on the Green Party. Now he may run on the Independent Party ticket. But he's more in line with the pro-Palestinian position. A lot of the younger, you know, students, African-Americans, Hispanic, well, not so much Hispanics, but more African-Americans and students, they're angry over Biden's position, which is seen as more, you know, pro-Israel, anti-Palestinian. And so, you know, they're upset about the humanitarian issues. They're seeing children being killed in Gaza and they are angry at Biden. I mean, everywhere he goes, he gets protested. And these are like his base. Like, this is his core constituency. These are the people that go out and organize for him and do the get out the votes and door knock. And now they're like, I don't want to vote for this guy anymore. I want to vote for Cornel West. But what they don't understand is that voting for Cornel West is voting for Donald Trump. And Donald Trump wants to turn Palestine into a parking lot. So it's like, you kind of need to know, a protest vote against Biden, voting for a third party candidate is essentially a protest vote against Biden, because those would naturally be Biden's voters.
I guess, you know, even that to me, like, is more in line with who I would think would be just like going towards Cornel West. Like, they're like one issue that they haven't really looked deeply into or feel any complication on. There's no nuance.
Oh, no. These are people who are like very passionate about one issue. They are single issue voters. And they own, like, they are voting about, you know, they are voting for Palestine, against this war, and they, you know, calling for ceasefire, and they are willing to throw the election away from Biden for it, even if it means, I don't think they fully thought it through that it could mean that Trump will win, because Biden needs every last vote he can get. He's trailing behind Trump in the polls, but that's a real threat to the Democrats right now.
Well, I guess to get off of like issues, because like I'm more like thinking of the demeanor. Like, it seems hopeless. Like, the questions that I got from listeners, and I asked, give me your stupid questions. Okay. And
my question is stupid. Teachers used to say that in school, right?
Just wait.
I will wait for it.
Okay.
Could a comedian be president? Like that's a stupid question. But I
could a reality star become president?
Yeah, I guess it's not, nothing's out of the question. But like, the idea, like, why has no one changed the Supreme Court lifetime appointment rule yet? Like, that to me is not in the vein of like Israel Palestine. That is, I believe this whole thing isn't happening anymore.
Yeah, no, that's something that, like, I think 2/3 of Congress would have to vote on it. I'm not entirely sure how that works, but like, you're basically changing a piece of the Constitution. I believe that's, when you change an amendment, it requires like such a high threshold. And as you know, our Congress and our Senate are so evenly divided, that it's almost impossible to get like 2/3 majority. Also, it's not in their interest. Like, like with the Republicans, they were able to stack the court in their favor during the Trump years, right? There are more conservative leaning judges than there are Democrats. So they're never going to vote in the favor of.
But don't they want their
judges to die in the robe. Like, that's what they want.
Do you sense that there's, because I'm 39, okay? I don't know if anyone below the age of 45 really feels that there's anything that could be changed, and we are on a train heading towards arguments forever, and you are, you know, in it. Do you see hope, or do you see arguments? Do you see, I have another question. How come there aren't more parties? You know, like, how, you know, like the to me, when I looked at the questions, it was a lot of like, I can't imagine anything can get done the way we're doing it now.
That's a good question about why there aren't more parties. First of all, like, we talked about it, there's a Green Party, there's a Libertarian Party, there's an Independent Party. Now this other group, No Labels, is trying to create a moderate party. But it's expensive to put a party on the ballot. The machines right now are so geared towards the Democratic National Committee and the Republican National Committee. They have so much money. There's outside groups, these dark money groups, there's super PACs. There's just so much money in politics in America. It's unlike anything. So I used to be a reporter in Europe. I covered the European Union for Politico Europe. I was a reporter based in Brussels. There are tons of parties in Europe. Mm. And there's a Socialist Party. There's the center right parties. They all have different names, obviously. Then there's the far right parties and the far left parties. And often they have to form coalition governments to lead, because they can't outright get a majority, because it's so fragmented. So in a way, forming a coalition is like a way to have more moderate legislation in a lot of ways, right? It also slows down the process. It requires more compromise, and it usually leads to less extreme forces dominating the leadership in the country, in the parliaments. And but still, there's always the threat of far right and far left leaders, fascists, you know, that kind of thing in Europe. We just saw in Italy with this new Prime Minister Meloni. You know, there's a woman in France, Marine Le Pen. She's been getting very close. Even in these countries that require coalition governments in their parliaments, they still have these very charismatic leaders that rise up through populist, you know, I guess populist voters and rhetoric and fear. And it's happens everywhere. But yes, our country in Europe, they don't have the same sort of money in these elections. They don't have super PACs. They don't have single billionaires who are trying to elect one person, or billionaires that are keeping the Democratic, you know, committee together or the Republican committee together. So it's different. Mm. And it doesn't feel like it can change. It hasn't changed. It's not crazy to think that. Like, it just hasn't changed in our country. We are not a country that's become a coalition government country. And we don't seem to be anywhere going. We don't seem to be going near that pathway in any way. So
what is something that you hear politically said that you believe, like, that is absolutely wrong that you hear repeated over and over again?
That's a good question. I don't know. Like, for a while, there was sort of this thing in Washington where a lot of Biden aides, you know, and people who were connected to the White House would kind of get angry at reporters or pundits or really anybody who would comment on Biden's age, right? Or notice that he seemed like enfeebled or that he just didn't seem like he was there as much as he did when he was first elected. And they'd be like, no, you're wrong. Trump's old too. And it's like, yes, Trump is old. But he's also the age that when we like first elected Biden, you know, he's around the same age. And that there really has seemed to be a decline. I think that's sort of a thing. And people are always saying, like, you know, Trump, like, you know, why doesn't the media cover Trump the same way it covers Biden? It's like, we do, but like, people are fatigued to Trump. Like, they already know the package that they're getting with Trump. They know there's a guy who's about to be convicted for paying off a porn star. Well, we don't know if he's going to be convicted, but he's at least going to trial for that. Like, we know that, you know, he encouraged people to riot on, you know, Capitol Hill and incited an insurrection, and it may end up, you know, causing him to go to prison. Like a lot of that is baked in. And so it seems like sometimes with every fact that you mention about, and he's clearly going through cognitive decline himself, calling Nikki Haley Nancy Pelosi and saying Barack Obama, that he ran against Barack Obama. It's a lot of, you know, there's a lot about Trump that we know, and it's sort of baked in. And there's a lot that's baked in about Biden. But when you point out anything about Biden, it's always like, well, what about Trump? And, and it sort of feels like, okay, you can have conversations about both of these people separately, because they're both running for president.
And it's tough to put a hat on a hat with Trump. It's tough to.
Yeah, he's like everything. You know what I mean? There's so many things. But just because Trump is such a flawed candidate, he's going to be the Republican nominee. You know what I mean? And
sorry to interrupt. What's who's the coolest politician you've ever met that we wouldn't know is cool?
Coolest politician I've ever met.
Good hang. You'd want to have a beer with them. I don't care about their political backing.
It's kind of funny because, like, I don't know. It feels weird to say that. I've gotten to know a lot of them just through my work. I kind of, like, respect, like, the old school politicians who, like, the women who came up, like Debbie Dingell, for example, from Michigan. Like, I really like her. I don't know if you know who she is, but she's a congresswoman there. She took her husband's seat when he died, but she's just like this really cool, like, woman. She's, I think, you know, I want to get her age right, but, you know, she's just like, gets it, is kind of like chill, goes to events. She's 70 years old, you know, she's like, just sort of like gets the game and is into it. And she's cool to me.
Are you in Washington now?
Am I in Washington now? No, I'm not. I'm in New York right now.
You're in New York. What got you into like political coverage? What got you into?
Honestly, just from living in a household where people were always talking about politics, like my dad was really into it. My mom sort of avoided it. And so I just became naturally interested in it, and not in a partisan way. Like, I wasn't for a second thinking like, oh, my dad's right, my mom's wrong, they had different political views. I was kind of more curious about why these two people have such different views. And people are very confused. They're trying to like put even me and other reporters into boxes. Oh, she must be a liberal because she said that Trump is having cognitive decline, or she must be a right-wing hack because she said that like Biden is obviously deteriorating. Like, it's really hard to be a journalist right now. Yeah. People are trying to pin you up against the wall and say you're one thing or another because you're just saying the things you're seeing with your eyes or hearing, and you're stating them definitively. So not that anyone should pity me for my job. I love what I do, but it's a really tough place to be in the media right now. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that have like sort of blown it for us. They've like lost the trust. But right. I know what I see and I know what I'm hearing. My sources are good. And I'm always curious, like, about, I like to unspin the spin. And there's a whole like spin system around all of these people. There's a whole operation. And if you kind of defy it, you know, you can lose access. You can suddenly have problems with things you never really thought you would. They make your job more difficult.
So, I mean, I think that's a question a lot of people have. How do you know where to trust? I remember I was sitting, my dad was talking, he said something about like, all the immigrants are coming in. And I go, well, he goes, it's the most ever. And I go, oh, and I've kind of come to the term of like, I go, well, show me the article. He goes, well, what do you mean? I go, if you show me the article, I'd like to read it. And then he goes and Googles and he kind of gives up. And then he comes back, he goes, I found it. And like the article was like, if you read it, it didn't really say what he was saying. It was like, you know,
not wrong. The migrant surges have been really high. Mm-hmm. They're like crazy high. And they have been under Trump too.
Right. Well, that's what I was saying. I was like, as far as like, you know, there was a blame looking to be made. And I was like, well, I got to see the number. Like, I think a lot of people are just like, give me the articles that I can trust. What's the thing I can go to? Who do you trust? Like, who do you go to say for the truth?
I honestly, like, I can read the story. Like, if you go to really any of like the main street outlets, they're quoting DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, like on how many people are crossing every day. And it's, right. The numbers are really high. They have been under Trump. I think you have to like kind of read some of the more boring articles. You know what I mean? Like, you can read Puck, for example, which is not boring and always cuts down to the hard bit, but it kind of goes into like another level, like a deeper political discussion that like the insiders are having, because the stats are the stats. There are way too many people crossing the border. There is video footage. There are cities that are crowded, new cities like New York City, the red state governors, like Ron DeSantis, Greg Abbott of Texas, they started shipping the migrants up north to blue cities, like Democratic cities like Chicago and New York. And now it's suddenly a problem here where there's 100,000 migrants in New York and there's nowhere to put them. And this has been happening all along. And they have been the ones who've been overwhelmed with the influx of migrants for years, even under Trump, you know? And it's like,
doesn't that depress you though?
You have to really be like a political junkie to know this, right? Yeah. I've been covering this stuff so inside and out. And I think that's why I like listen to my podcast, read my work, follow it like every week. But because like I am one of those people who's a political junkie. I know that the surges have been bad under, they've been bad under Trump and they've been bad under Biden. And there was a chance to really stop it. And the Republicans killed a bill that the Democrats and Republicans had been working on in the Senate just a few weeks ago, because Trump said, no, this isn't good enough. It would have given Biden the opportunity to close down the border, the ability to, when there were surges. But Trump said he thought that this would be a political win for Biden, and it would be. And so he didn't want it to happen before the election. Mm-hmm. And he just controls the party. So they completely blew up the bill. And it's sad because that's what we need right now, right?
But isn't that like, how does someone like hearing this? Because like, to me, I'm like, well, I guess it's helpless. I'm going to go back to listening to music and ignoring it. Like it becomes, I think that there's a general feeling of like, well, fuck it. I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to let whoever has to deal with it. I'm going to, and it, you know, it kind of separates us more because it's like, that becomes just like an idea to me. Like I hear about the migrants, but I don't deal with it on a daily basis.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in New York City, I'm sure you've noticed that there are a lot of migrant encampments. It's a public health issue too. Like no one cares about anything until it's on their doorstep, right?
Right.
That's how it works. Yeah. In 2022, all these Republicans won the midterms in New York because they were afraid of crime. And no one ever thought the Republicans would take back the House because of fears of crime in the New York suburbs. And that's how it happened. And in California, people don't vote until it's their number one issue. Right now, Democrats and Republicans are ranking migration and immigration as their number one issues, mainly because a lot of these border states are red states. And now the migrants are going up north because they're being shipped up north to blue states. So it's elevated the issue. I get it. You feel helpless, but like feeling helpless is only like empowering people in a way. You have to just, you know, take the time to be an active citizen and try to understand and think about voting and like being active in your community and like possibly inviting other people to go vote. Because if you're unhappy with the results, like the only person you can blame is yourself.
Right.
You know, it's like, if you didn't go out and vote.
I was hoping that there was going to be like a answer to this,
the panacea answer, one that puts everything away.
I wanted the shot, the Ozempic answer to this.
But then again, doesn't Ozempic make you like angry and like pissed and like your face looks like this? And
it's just because you're constipated.
No, but if you're skinny, everything else doesn't matter. I think we need an Ozempic for the government.
That's the problem, though. I almost blame the millennials for this moment that we're in right now. Why haven't any of them like pulled up their bootstraps and decided to become the leaders in this country? So we didn't have these old men running against each other.
Right. I don't know. Well, you mentioned all the money. All the money's in the boomer.
We had one guy run.
It's not true anymore. There's like Silicon Valley money, and it's a lot of young people too that are raising money, doing grassroots work for them. And I believe the money follows where they believe there is a winner. So it's a strong candidate, money will follow.
I blame that Facebook.
It's a cop out.
We were the first generation with Facebook, and none of us knew that those pictures would stay there forever.
Yeah.
And so all of us are living in fear.
It's not too late for you to,
and we don't remember what was there.
Purge your Facebook.
What's that?
You can purge it. It's not too late for you to purge your Facebook. You can do it.
There's too much to Google about me for me to ever get politically active. Well, that's the thing. We have so many things.
You don't have to be politically active. You can just be a active citizen in your community.
You can't even have an opinion. The minute you have an opinion and you put it on TikTok, someone goes, I found this thing where you shopped at, you know, this place and you were,
everything's,
you know,
from China.
Here's you shopping for Aunt Jemima's.
No, and it's frustrating. Yes, people feel like they are living in fear. Like there's like this HR department out there that's like ready to get them at every moment, right?
Right.
And I agree. I think it does make people less interested in politics. I think it makes it does feel like there's some sort of like nanny state in some.
Well, there's there's morality police that, you know, that's going on. It's like we all live a hypocritical life. You know, we all, you know, sit here. And we live, you know, one way one day, and then you do something else that goes against that. And now one didn't fit the whole party, you know, the whole party line. So now it's like you can't have an opinion on anything in the party.
Yeah. No, it's hard. But listen, I think just keep living your life and try to be, you know, be active. And if you're unhappy with the results, like you have to think to yourself, oh.
Well, I'm happy that we found Tara to be able to put the listeners on to get the, you know, an unbiased, you know, boots on the ground view of what's going on. Everyone go follow Tara Palmieri. Puck News, the podcast is someone's got to win, which
somebody's got to win.
Somebody's got to win, which is again showing that is a message of depression on what's going on. Not exactly the most positive outlook on the presidency.
It's true that it is a bit bleak. The name of the show, Somebody's Gotta Win.
Yeah.
It doesn't really suggest that there is much enthusiasm about either candidate, but it's also a reminder that somebody's gotta win, so pick wisely.
Right, so pick wisely and...
and get involved.
Find the Ozempic solution at some point. Tara, thank you so much. This was great.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
We're heading to Patreon now. It will get very dumb on Patreon as opposed to how smart Tara is on the subject of politics. So be sure to watch the rest of this episode. Patreon.com/JaredFreed. We're going to do TikToks that make me feel. There's a few that I'm just like, I can't stop thinking about. So let's, we'll see on Patreon. Patreon.com/JaredFreed.